Today on Movie World, as we give you our last minute quick take on the Oscars. It's time for Movie Wallers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, D as well.
Movie Wallers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane if you love the movies, the show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello.
Hello.
So, at the 11th hour...
Literally,
because today is Saturday the 21st of February. The Oscars are coming tomorrow on February 22nd, which means most people listening to this will probably get to listen to it after the... Oscars is out. Well, I will do my best to put this out online really quick. But we thought we would just have a quick podcast to kind of go over this year's Oscar nominations, surprises, disappointments, our thoughts and opinions. Not sure how you want to do this.
Yeah, are we going to say what we think will win or what we want to win? Maybe what we can do.
Probably both.
Who should win and who will win?
Correct.
And who should have been on the list?
Correct.
Well, that too, yes.
So let's get into it. So let's start with Best Motion Picture.
No.
Oh, no, straight for the kill.
No. Wow. Watch me. Have you ever seen the Academy Awards?
Yeah. Oh, you want to go supporting.
Yes.
Supporting actor. All right. So here are the nominations. I've always wanted to do that. Here are the nominations for performance by an actor in a supporting role. Robert Duvall, The Judge. Ethan Hawke, Boyhood. Edward Norton, Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher. And J.K. Simmons for Whiplash.
I don't think there is a bad one here.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all talked about it. I think a lot of people were surprised by Robert Duvall in The Judge. I'm one of five people who really actually loves that movie, so I'm not going to begrudge that. I think the general consensus is that this is the one sure thing in terms of who's going to win, that it's going to be a huge shock if anybody other than J.K. Simmons gets this. If it was up to me, I would personally pick Edward Norton in Birdman, because I think his role in Birdman was so, it was like a musical aria. It was like he had to hit all the right notes up and down. It was such a slippery character, and I can't think of anybody else who could have done that compared to J.K. Simmons, who was brilliant and breathtaking, but it was kind of a one-note thing. He was just evil and more evil and more evil.
But we won't rehash that.
But we won't hash that. So anyway, that's my thought.
Okay, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen The Judge, which is an obvious flaw in my ability to assess all of these. But in terms of my favorite performances, I agree, yes. I think all of them were really, you know, note perfect this year. I think Ed Norton, I agree with you for... level of difficulty, that entire movie didn't work for me, but boy did I admire what was going on, and boy did I admire what Ed Norton did in that film. But yeah, I mean, I think J.K. Simmons is probably my pick to win on the list of them. He's probably the performance that I enjoyed most that year. Not to say that it was the best, but it's the one I enjoyed most. So I think he will win, and he would be my pick.
So nothing more to add to either of what you've said. The difficulty here for me is that I love Edward Norton in Birdman, and I love J.K. Simmons in Whiplash. So if either of those win, I would be extremely happy. But I'm with you guys. I think J.K. Simmons has been winning every one of the awards, and deservedly so. Brilliant performance that I think really anchored that movie Whiplash. So I'm with you, J.K. Simmons. Any that should have been on the list that aren't on the list?
I can't think of any off the top of my head, no.
Joe, yeah. You've got one, I know.
I'm not prepared. Which one do you think I was going to say?
Channing Tatum in Foxcatcher.
Thank you, yeah. Gosh, it's funny that Mark Ruffalo's on here, because I think Channing Tatum did actually a better job. The difference between the two of them, I think, is that Ruffalo is very good about presenting the performance that he made as you know, in terms of the art of acting. When you see Channing Tatum talk about his character, he's like, you know, I showed up, I did this wrestling thing, and it was kind of fun, and you know, it was really hard work on set. But if you watch the two of them, and when they talk about the way that they did their roles in this movie, it made me really smile that Channing Tatum, you know, he's very humble as an actor. Mm-hmm. I think he's far more talented than he gives himself credit. And I think Foxcatcher was a brilliant performance by him. In many ways, it outshone the Mark Ruffalo character. But I think in terms of selling himself as an actor, because of his humility, he's like, I just showed up and I did my best. And, you know, I think maybe he didn't
charm the voters as much, you think, maybe.
I think it's a very difficult role. I agree that it's a role.
Have you seen Foxcatcher?
I've seen Foxcatcher.
Yes. What do you think?
I hated the movie, but we can talk.
Really?
We can talk about
that's another
it another
podcast.
That's another podcast. But anyway, we can talk about it. But I think it's actually a very difficult role. And you know, Mark Ruffalo is so. But when is he not very good? But Mark Ruffalo is so very correct. Good in the few scenes he has. And maybe I'm giving something away, but in the way things turn out in the movie, I think Ruffalo might walk away with audience sympathy more than Channing Tatum in terms of the outcome of the story. And I think that might explain why Ruffalo is getting a lot more screen credit or a lot more press for his particular role. But I agree. I mean, it's a very... My single biggest problem with Foxcatcher, not that this is a podcast on Foxcatcher, is that there is so much between the lines in that movie. Everything in that movie is between the lines. And I just got tired after a while of reading between the lines. And I think the movie cannot come out and say a lot of things because it's based on real events and they would get sued by even making certain implications. And so it's
By a very wealthy family as
well. By a very wealthy family. So it's constantly like treading, quite nudging and winking. And I just got tired of that after a while.
Interesting.
But anyway.
I think both of us loved Foxcatcher.
I couldn't get that movie out of my head for weeks.
Same.
It haunted me in a way that was unexpected. And... yeah, again, we'll talk about podcasts.
I mean, you asked
a different podcast.
Yeah, you asked earlier about I couldn't think any at the top of my head who could possibly also have been nominated. And two individuals I can think of is Chris Pine in Into the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought he was really good considering he's Chris Pine and he's doing like this.
But best supporting,
yeah.
Oh come on,
I would consider. And the other person I would consider is Alfred Molina in Love is Strange. I don't know
yes.
if you guys ever saw.
Yeah,
that.
I did. I
he
did.
Was so
really
good in
nice
that.
Performance.
He was so good.
Actually, I'm surprised that didn't make it on anyone's list other than the Independent Spirit Awards. Yeah. For me, there are two omissions here. One is Robert Pattinson, believe it or not, in The Rover, which didn't get any love this year from anyone. And another one for me was James Gandolfini in The Drop. I know the performance was very much like Tony Soprano, but I really liked that performance. So that's two omissions for me on that list.
All right, let's do...
Okay, performance...
Should we rotate the chairs?
Sure.
So, performance by an actress in a supporting role. We have Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, Keira Knightley for The Imitation Game, Emma Stone for Birdman, Meryl Streep for Into the Woods. Rashmi, you want to shoot?
Yeah, first of all, I have to say, I don't know. I really don't know what Meryl Streep is doing on this list. I mean, we said this during the Into the Woods podcast. I am... just infuriated that Meryl Streep took the chair away from Jessica Chastain in A Most Violent Year, or Dorothy Atkinson in Mr. Turner, or even Rachel McAdams in A Most Wanted Man.
Mm-hmm.
My hope for this, well, I think it's a shoo-in. Patricia Arquette, like J.K. Simmons, has been winning all of the awards for Boyhood. That wasn't my favorite film. That's not the one I want to win. I think that is the one that will win. I would put my money on... I would want Emma Stone from Birdman to mm-hmm. win this one.
Yeah, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with Rashmi. I mean, I ranted about this on my blog, and as well as on Movie Valas, but I think really the Meryl Streep nomination actually invalidates the legitimacy of the Oscar voters. If anybody in their right mind can watch that performance and still tick off a box for Meryl Streep, it really speaks to either you're not watching the movies and you're just blindly doing it, or worse, you're watching the movies and you don't have a effing clue. You know, it really makes me angry. I mean, I think Meryl Streep is one of the greats. You know, I'll go support her 100th nomination when it happens, deservedly. But for movies like this, she has no business being here, especially if she's taking away a very valuable spot. And I mean, honestly, I mean, I have 10 names here on my list of best supporting actresses. Like you said, I mean, Jessica Chastain, so good in A Most Violent Year. Carrie Coon in Gone Girl, who plays Ben Affleck's sister. I think she was so good. Mackenzie Foy in Interstellar, who plays the young Jessica Chastain.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She was so good. I think Tilda Swinton in Snowpiercer, for a short role, she was so memorable.
Correct, yeah.
Marissa Tomei in Love is Strange, again, you know, I really liked her. And like you, you know, Rachel McAdams in A Most Wanted Man. So there were so many good out-of-the-box nominations that they could have gone with, but, you know, it's a shame. So I really have a problem with the Meryl Streep nomination. I'm a little surprised at the consensus around Patricia Arquette, not that she was anything less than completely believable, but her performance is a very subtle performance. It kind of builds as the movie goes along. And I'm frankly very impressed that people have kind of seen that and not seen it as a below-the-radar performance. For my top dollar, I would either go with Keira Knightley in The Imitation Game or Emma Stone in Birdman. There's one scene in Birdman where it seems like she's made to be shown when she wins the Oscar.
Yes, but agree. Anyway. Joe?
Yeah, I mean, this is actually a disappointing category for me this year. One, because of the Meryl Streep, but because as I look down the list, all of them were solid performances, but none of them really stood out to me as we went through the year. If you'd asked me during our reviews of any of these movies, would any of these particular actresses make it onto this list? I don't think I would have picked any of them. I mean, maybe Emma Stone, just because, again, Birdman, technically very remarkable, but everyone else seemed to have, you know, very credible, you know, consistent performances, but nothing out of the ordinary here. So, you know, a little disappointing as a category. And I think some of the other ones that you've mentioned, you know, Jessica Chastain and Mackenzie Foy, certainly, I think, what a big opportunity to put someone down on a list. But nonetheless, list is what it is. My pick is going to have to be Patricia Arquette, again, just because of the momentum that she seems to have going right now for Boyhood. I wouldn't be unhappy about that win. Again, I'm not blown away by any of the performances on this list.
Okay, so next one is Best Actor, Yazdi.
So Best Actor in a Leading Role, Steve Carell in Foxcatcher, Bradley Cooper in American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game, Michael Keaton for Birdman, and Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything. Go on, Joe.
Interesting category this year. I think I would cross Bradley Cooper off the list straight away. Same with Benedict Cumberbatch. I don't really know why. I think that movie didn't work for me in the way that it could have. And although, you know, I think technically he did a tremendous job as an actor, the whole thing was kind of unmemorable. So, you know, really comes down in my mind to Eddie Redmayne, Michael Keaton, Steve Carell, all of which I think did really good work. Again, Birdman is not a movie that works for me, so it wouldn't be my pick simply for that reason. Eddie Redmayne did a remarkable job, although I think he had the big crutch of having a disability to portray. So as much as I narrow down this list, my pick would be probably Steve Carell for Foxcatcher.
But you think?
I think this is a tough one for me. I think it could go to either Cumberbatch or Keaton.
Really? Not Redmayne? As I give away my...
I think it's gone.
No, it's one of those two.
That's the consensus right now. It's neck and neck between those two, Redmayne and Keaton.
Okay. So look, this is the hands down toughest category for me to so many good male performances this year. And I actually tried to be a bit organized this year, and I'm actually helped by my sheet that I kept through the year where I kind of logged all the good performances. By far, this is my longest list. I agree with you, Joe. I would take Bradley Cooper off the list immediately. I don't know what he's doing there, but everyone else there, I think, generally deserves to be there. But here is the crime. These are the people who are missing off this list. Jake Gyllenhaal for Nightcrawler. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Miles Teller for Whiplash. Tom Hardy for The Drop. Mm-hmm. Guy Pearce for The Rover. Irfan Khan for The Lunchbox. Mm-hmm. Ralph Fiennes for Grand Budapest Hotel. There are so many good male performances this year that I just think Bradley Cooper is just taking up a space that he shouldn't. He's great. He's very good in American Sniper, but he's not better than any of those other men I listed. For me, this is a complete toss-up between Michael Keaton and Eddie Redmayne. I love those performances. I just love them.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Bradley Cooper. Now, 3 years in a row, he's been getting nominations for movies in which he's been maybe just a little bit better than mediocre. I mean, he's a very hardworking, very agreeable actor, but there's nothing in him ever to date which has shown any gleam of genius or greatness or any of it. So I don't understand how he manages to squeeze in. Last year, he inexplicably got one for American Hustle, and I think he was the weakest player amongst that batch. But anyway, and I actually personally feel I completely fail to understand why Steve Carell is on that list as well.
Yes, he was brilliant.
He was not. I mean, he's just brooding. He's just sitting there not doing anything in the whole movie.
No, it's very subtle.
I think subtle
performance.
We do need to review Foxcatcher then.
We do. I mean, I don't... It's such a deliberately stylized, impermeable... He's deliberately not giving anything about himself. And I don't know. I just had a real problem with it. And I think they gave the nomination for the prosthetics anything more than anything else. I mean, it was like that Nicole Kidman nomination for when she played Virginia Woolf. When she had the big nose for The Hours. But
well, I think it shows his range, right? It shows that someone who we're used to seeing in a comedy role is able to do something very dramatic and very serious. For me, it was all about the intonation with his speech. How difficult it is to portray someone who's that privileged yet that insecure.
And it's also a very good replication of, because he doesn't actually look very much like the guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, the prosthetic aside, the prosthetic nose, which still, when you look at the, it's almost like a caricature of the guy. So, you know, the nose was like the essence of him. It's what you might notice, but it didn't make Steve Carell look like him. But what he did, if you see any real footage of the guy, I forget his name, escapes me. Thank you, John DuPont. In the movie, he's really captured the spirit of that person, and I think in terms of, you know, what an actor had set out to do here, I think he got it as good as he could have.
But I maybe it's my problem with the movie in that I don't understand what I'm supposed to make of Steve Carell's character. I really don't. I mean, I don't understand his character. He's just somebody who is, you know, tormented for no apparent reason. I'm a huge Steve Carell fan. I mean, I think he's done amazing work in movie, and he's been very serious. He was serious in, Little Miss Sunshine, and he was, you know, he's done all kinds of great films. But this one, I didn't care for at all. I completely agree with you on Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler. I think, you know, Jake should sue the Academy Awards, really. I mean, I think that was right. He deserved a spot, at least, for his remarkable work, especially coming at the heels of the Enemy, I thought, where he also did such a good job playing two different roles. I think others I might add to the list, in addition to ones you mentioned, Rashmi. I mean, if I had Irfan Khan from The Lunchbox as well, I have Tom Hardy for a different movie, for the movie Locke.
Oh, yeah.
He was so good. I thought Oscar Isaac in A Most Violent Year was good, and so was Timothy Spall in Mr. Turner. You know, that's a really showy, good performance where you kind of really understand this man. But having said that, of the ones who are on the list, if I have to be true to my heart and just go with each person's work in the movie for which they're nominated, for me, nobody even comes close to Eddie Redmayne. I think it's he completely transcends caricature in that movie. So I'm a little bit surprised that, you know, Michael Keaton's running neck and neck with him. But I think for Keaton, it's more an acknowledgement of his entire career's worth of work. And maybe that's adding a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. So performance by an actress in a leading role. Marion Cotillard, 2 Days, 1 Night. Felicity Jones, The Theory of Everything, Julianne Moore, Still Alice, Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl, and Reese Witherspoon for Wild. Yazdi.
You know, this is one where I cannot find fault. I think I cannot fault any one of those five. I think they're all deserving to be there, personally. And again, just like the best actor, if I have to just look at performance in that particular movie for which they're nominated, For me, nobody comes even close to Marion Cotillard in 2 Days, 1 Night. So if it was up to me, I would definitely go for that. Having said that, I know everybody thinks that this award is completely locked down for Julianne Moore in Still Alice. And I do not begrudge that at all. I think she's amazing. I think it's a Lifetime movie that is completely elevated purely based on her performance alone. And knowing that she's been nominated 6 times now and she's been in the movies for 2 decades and never won, I think her time's now. So I'd be very, very happy if Julianne Moore got it for Still Alice.
Joe?
Again, looking at the category, I haven't seen 2 Days, 1 Night, so I need to see that. And yes, everything you said, I've also read about this performance, so it's one I'm looking forward to. I'll just go down the list. Felicity Jones was wonderful in The Theory of Everything, and I'm really glad that she's been acknowledged. I don't know that she will even have a hope of winning this one, but in terms of the heart that she put into that performance, boy, I'm really glad she's here. Julianne Moore, we haven't reviewed Still Alice on the show. I didn't care for that movie at all. I didn't think that the Julianne Moore performance was anything remarkable. It was a solid performance. I won't take it away from her, but it just didn't seem to, the writing didn't seem to support the role that she was playing. And so I couldn't separate the two. And as a consequence, I just don't see what the fuss is about with this particular performance. I think she's done some terrific work and I'm a huge fan of hers, but no, not this one. Rosamund Pike, I'm really glad to see her here. I'm probably the only one here in the room to see that she's here. But I thought she was terrific in Gone Girl, and I'm really glad she's here. And Reese Witherspoon for Wild, wow.
Very deserving.
Very deserving performance and also recognition of what she's done. My pick personally, my favourite would be Reese Witherspoon. But I think Julianne Moore, just because of the body of work behind her right now, is going to get this.
I hated Still Alice, and I really didn't care for Julianne Moore's performance either. Like you, Joe, I really don't understand why she's on this list. That's a stolen place. As I look at my list that I kept through the year, I have exactly the same list, but instead of Julianne Moore, I would put Marion Cotillard in The Immigrant. So I'm really happy with this list except Julianne Moore, so you can tell that I don't want her to win. I would be happy if... Yeah, I agree. Reese Witherspoon was so amazing in Wild, but Felicity Jones stole my heart, and I really want her to win. She made that movie, and Eddie Redmayne's performance wouldn't be the performance it is if that had been someone else. So I think Felicity Jones totally deserves this one. But I agree, Marion Cotillard. And I'm not the Marion Cotillard fan on this table, but 2 great performances this year, and she was phenomenal in 2 Days, 1 Night.
Yeah.
Director.
So, achievement in directing, we have Alejandro G. Iñárritu for Birdman. We have Richard Linklater for Boyhood. Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher. Wes Anderson for The Grand Budapest Hotel. And Morten Tildum for The Imitation Game.
Okay, so I know why Richard Linklater's here, but I don't think just because he filmed a film over 12 years that makes him the best director. I just think it means that he's good at keeping people together for that period of time, and obviously people like working with him. So I mean, other than that, too gimmicky for me. My vote is Alejandro G. Iñárritu. What he has achieved with Birdman is incredible, off the charts. And you know, this is a really hard category because people always say this has to be someone who pushes film further, and I believe that Birdman has really pushed the art of directing further than we've seen before. Now, there was an interesting wrangle that someone put up with us against us, and it was about why wasn't Clint Eastwood for American Sniper considered in this category. I don't think that's an omission personally, and I wrote that in the wrangle, so if you want to have a look at the argument, please go into wrangle.com. I love Wes Anderson. I mean, I would want Wes Anderson to win, but I don't think he deserves it over Iñárritu.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's 4 who have earned this by merit of what they've done. I think they're very difficult movies, and I think and those 4 being Alejandro González Iñárritu for Birdman, Richard Linklater for Boyhood, Wes Anderson for Grand Budapest Hotel and Morten Tallam for Imitation Game. I think all of those, each of those movies had a high degree of difficulty, either technical or in terms of what they needed to achieve. So I don't resent them. I do have an issue with this category in general, because now that you're allowed to have more than five Best Picture nominees, usually the general feeling is that the five which get the Best Director represents the top five out of the up to the 10 movies which might get picked for Best Film. So I don't necessarily think these five are the best ones. The one which really, really galled me, and it was on nobody's list, is again this surprising nomination for Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher. This is not a popular movie. This has like a 30-40% tomato meter rating. It's a horrible movie. It doesn't know what it wants to say.
Stop trying to make this a podcast about
I don't understand what part of that movie is a grand directorial achievement. It doesn't tell you anything. It is just saying this is what happened. And my point is, if you're so obsessed about this movie, make a documentary. I don't think there is any grand directing ambitions in this movie.
Nonsense.
Anyway, so for me personally, and this is the reason why a lot of people are calling the Academy voters racist, and I have to kind of, you know, go along with...
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention it.
Yeah, I have to go along with that pitchfork-carrying mob. I have to agree with them that they lost the opportunity to recognize Selma in this category.
Yes.
Which I think...
Thank you, Yasti.
Which I think is a biopic for people who don't like biopics. And you take something as, you know... dated, if you will, as you know, that particular story, and just inject so much energy and anger and make it relevant to what's going on right now. That's one of my favorite movies of the year. And, you know, the Academy would have had an opportunity to make history by picking the first, you know, female actor of color for directing. And instead they gave it to another white dude who made a movie about white privilege. So go figure it. You know, I think
you've stole the words from my mouth.
This is really shameful. I mean, what are these Academy voters doing?
Yeah, I agree. What? Yeah. Okay. Go, Joe.
I mean, I'm not upset by Foxcatcher being here, but I am a little surprised that it made the cut. Selma, I have to respond to simply because I didn't respond to Selma at all in terms of a movie. I think it was very well executed, but you know, there was a lot of buzz about it in December of last year, saying, you know, it's a shoo-in for the Oscars, and I felt like it played the same strategy as 12 Years a Slave by releasing itself late, and it was trying to play the Oscar game a little too obviously for me, and I think maybe people recognize that. So for me, I didn't respond well to Selma. I'm not too upset that it's not on this list. And, you know, the political issues aside, I mean, you know, there may be some politics behind that decision or not, but I'm actually, you know, not of the opinion that it's anything other than that it just wasn't great. Of the films on the list, I think I have to acknowledge Alejandro Iñárritu for Birdman. I hated that movie, but boy, do I admire it. And it's a real cause for like dissonance in my brain. I'm like struggling with like, how can a movie that is so technically well accomplished not work for me in any which way at all? So, you know, okay, Boyhood was one of my favorite films of the year. I think that's clearly... And in terms of achievement in directing, you know, what it takes for a group of producers and directors to keep this project going over the length of time that they did and realize the vision that they had 12 years ago, you know, gimmick aside, it was still a very well executed movie. So I'm terribly pleased to see it there. Grand Budapest Hotel, again, achievement in directing, okay. Did he advance the art? Not really. It was just Wes Anderson doing his thing, doing more of his thing and doing more eccentric, his thing, more concentrated version than he's ever done before. But, you know, okay.
But just because he's done it before doesn't make it bad.
But I don't think he advanced the art, and I don't think that this, in terms of achievement in directing, he gave us anything that he hasn't already given us before, and that wasn't recognized before. I think this is just a, you know, recognition that this is a director with a unique voice, and he's climbing up there.
I think his voice got mainstreamed with the Grand Budapest. It's the one where everybody has watched it. All his previous movies were kind of, you know, only niche, the little pockets niche of people who were admiring him, and now it's kind of gained mainstream recognition.
Yeah.
I do think, I forgot to say, Dan Gilroy for Nightcrawler is off is off the list, and that's a travesty for me as well. All those night shots in LA, the variety of shots that he must have had to do, those long takes in that house. I mean,
just for maintaining the tone of that film, which is such a difficult tone. It's a tone of, you know, satire mixed with like a dark, brooding, cruel humor.
And yet this comedic little sarcasm, wink, wink.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Imitation Game, too clinical.
Yeah.
Incredibly well accomplished, but boy, too clinical.
I would have picked Theory of Everything over Imitation Game. Even in the directing.
Yes.
My bias is going to show itself, but why is Chris Nolan not on this list? I think Interstellar was a beautiful movie, and that's one that's haunting and resonating with me too. I think, you know, again, when you look at achievements in directing, he really did an amazing job with Interstellar in terms of it's a Chris Nolanism, but it's very verisimilitude. I think it's really taught us a lot about you know, what you can do visually with and keep things real. So I would actually have rather seen Linklater on this list than you know, Bennett Miller. Nolan on this list rather than Bennett Miller.
Yeah, and you're right. James Marsh for Theory of Everything is missing. Yeah. That's a way better film. I agree. Imitation Game. Okay.
I think if I had to pick one, and this is where I think this is one of the most heavily contested categories along with best movie is, it's Birdman versus Boyhood, and I cannot every day. I mean, even within the hour, I flip back and forth between those two personally.
No competition for me.
Okay. Best film, the big one.
Okay, best motion picture of the year. Then we have American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
So, personally, me, I don't have a problem against any of those movies. As strong as my reaction was about Whiplash, I cannot argue that it's a very, very effective film and one of the most tense movies of the year. So it probably belongs here. I don't like its message, but this is not the place to bring it up. American Sniper, it's... You know, we've talked about it. It's a very accomplished film. Birdman is probably the one which was, you know, the Luqman Ohans of all of this. It's the most technically accomplished. It's the most experimental. It's the one which takes the most risks, and it's the one which is the most successful out of those. But I think its accomplishments, the only other movie which comes close to meeting it are Boyhood, which I think for that kind of a gimmick, if you will, there must have been the temptation to make it about big issues and to make it more structured and make it more plotty, and the fact how simple and untethered and subtle it is, and it still amounts to a lot by not saying much through those 12 years. So I think for its subtlety and for what it does not do, I think it needs to belong there. Grand Budapest Hotel is such a fun movie. Imitation Game, a difficult story done with, you know, it's a very polished, handsome movie. Selma, I do believe it's one of the better movies of the year. It had such a strong effect on me, particularly in terms of what's going on right now, and Theory of Everything as well. So I don't think there is a bad apple here in this one. My personal best of the year list has only two out of these, you know, nine movies which have been selected, but that's a whole other different podcast. If I had to pick one, personally, I would pick Selma, but I think the one which is going to get it is going to be either Birdman or Boyhood. And I'm really, this is the reason why I'm biting my fingernails, and I will be through the end of the telecast tomorrow, because I'm really curious to find out which one of those two prevails.
Yeah, so you know my feelings about Boyhood. Yes, you summed it up. Nothing happens. So it doesn't really deserve to be on this list. But five of these films are on my top 10 list. So I'm very happy to see Grand Budapest, Birdman, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. I'm sad that films like Nightcrawler didn't make it on the list. Pride didn't make it on the list. Mm-hmm. The Lunchbox didn't make it on this list. Guardians of the Galaxy should have made it on the list. What a fun movie.
Nonsense.
And X-Men Days of Future Past. That, to me, was a really, really good film. So for me, I will be happy if Birdman, Selma, or The Theory of Everything win. I am a huge Wes Anderson fan, but it doesn't make best movie from the Oscars perspective. I think Birdman really does it for me, or The Theory of Everything, or Selma. So I'll be happy if any one of those three win. Please don't let it be Boyhood. I want Boyhood to grow up and become a man.
He is a man.
I'm delighted about three of the movies on this list: Boyhood, Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. And Whiplash is probably my favorite of the ones on the list, I think, of this, in terms of sheer enjoyment. But I mean, Theory of Everything and Boyhood were movies that I admired tremendously. Everything else, you know, Sniper, Birdman, we've already talked about, Budapest, my feelings on those, same with Selma. So I think Boyhood out edges it for me again, just because it's such a unique piece of filmmaking. You know, as technically accomplished as Birdman was, I think, what's the better movie here? And as I kind of dig deep and ask myself that question, I think it has to be, you know, Boyhood, simply because Birdman was so gimmicky.
And Boyhood wasn't?
I don't think Boyhood was about the gimmick. It had a gimmick in it, but I don't feel it was about that at all. Whereas I think Birdman, for me at least, was.
We will argue another day.
Well, yes. I mean, I think the Academy got to have their say. We're going to try and have our say with our own Movie Wallers Awards, the Muggies. This will be our third or fourth year running that we're going to do this. So we'll try and do justice where the Academy has misstepped.
Okay. Any other mentions of categories or films that you would like to share with our listeners?
I think the best foreign film, you know, list is a very strong list. You know, it's amazing. The one which surprised me is that, you know, Force Majeure was on that list in every single awards category. It's won already a lot of the best foreign film awards, and it just completely dropped out even of the nominations. Just like the Lego Movie completely dropped out of the best animated feature film list, which is perplexing to me. But I have not seen all the other animated movies. I haven't seen A Tale of Princess Cayuga or Song of the Sea, so I'm not in a position to tell. So some of these nominations are just troubling, that, you know, front runners didn't even make the nomination, you know, starting even with Jake Gyllenhaal with Nightcrawler and so forth. So I would love to understand how these things come to pass, other than people just not caring enough and just ticking off the same names over and over again.
So I was really sad that we didn't see Mr. Peabody and Sherman on the animated list. I absolutely die for that film. I really want to go and own my own copy. That's my big. I don't even care about the animation category, because that was the best animation of the year.
I mean, it's certainly better than Big Hero 6. It's better than Box Trolls, and it's better than How to Train Your Dragon.
And it had such a good message. Yeah. I mean, you know, the other big omission here is Mr. Turner. I can't believe that Mr. Turner is only in some very weird, small categories. What an amazing movie! And it should have at least—I think it's in cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So at least it's there. That's some justice. Again, what a brilliant movie. Any other? Joe, from you?
Not really. I mean, you know, in terms of closing thoughts, I think the nominations were a bit of a disappointment this year. I mean, Yasda, you've done a terrific post on moviewallers.com. So if you haven't been over to our website and read Yasda's, it was a rant. I'm going to call it a rant. It was right on the money. I think this particular year has been very disappointing. And, you know, normally the nominations aren't where I get disappointed. You know, I think the nominations are always a source of excitement for me. This year, I think they really flubbed it up. I think not ordinarily where I get disappointed is when, you know, you get movies that win that you didn't hope to win. But this year, the nominations, more than anything, I think were, you know, cruelly overlooked some amazing work. And I think something needs to be fixed.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, that animation category is a travesty when you look at the animated shorts and when you look at the quality of the animated shorts that we watched in comparison to the list here. I mean, for me, there's no comparison. Those shorts were all such amazing quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think part of the issue also is that, and I wasn't aware of this, and when I got really angry after I first saw the nominations, I was looking for reasons, and one of the online you know, sites which talks a lot about this, they pointed this out, that unlike the final voting, where every member of the Academy votes in every category for the nominations, people who belong to that particular category only vote in that. So, for example, best director, only those who are directors can vote in the best director. Only actors
nominate.
Can nominate.
That's correct.
Only actors nominate actors and so forth. And I can understand why that is, and it kind of makes sense, but it really creates these discrepancies. And a great example is, you know, again, with Foxcatcher, which got nominated for Best Director, but failed to garner a nomination for Best Film. So how is that even possible? I guess it is possible, but it just seems weird to me. So maybe what the general, you know, movie community as a whole has a consensus on may not truly reflect the consensus of the people in that category. So, yeah. But eagerly looking forward, there's still a lot of these categories where nobody knows exactly who the winner is going to be. So,
yeah.
At least it's not a done deal. In some years, it's a done deal. You know exactly who's going to win, and then you just go through, you know, you watch it for the ceremony of it. But this year, there'll be...
who's wearing what.
Right. And this year, there will be some suspense, for me at least. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That wraps it up.
All right. Well, we'll try and get this podcast out, and hopefully you get a chance to listen to this before the Oscars. But if not, you can appreciate just how wrong we were. Until our next episode, it's too many movies, too little time. It'll be good night for me.
And me.
And me as well.